What's up, y'all? How you doing? I'm Maul.
I'm Rory.
This is the new Rory and Maul podcast. We are on tour right now.
Yes.
Chicago this weekend. We are at Thalia Hall.
Tatiana Hall?
Thalia Hall, I believe, in Chicago.
We correct? In Chicago. Google that shit.
Yeah, Google that shit. Come out, kick it with us. We are in D.C. next weekend at the Howard Theater.
Yes.
Tickets are on sale now for the rest of the shows on the tour. We are coming to a city near you, hopefully. NewRoryNMall.com. You can get your tickets now.
I might walk over to Howard campus, be the creepy old Kappa on the plot.
Let me know how that goes. Get your tickets now, NewRoryNMall.com, and we hope to see you soon.
New Rory and Maul.
Made the fade famous, the chain famous. QB on my chest, master stainless. Amazing grace, I'm gracefully aging. Without masonry, I'm
made. Welcome to a new episode of the New Rory and Maul Show. I am Maul.
I am Rory.
And we are back with another sound journey. Rory, you have your blindfold?
I have it right here.
You kinky young man. Okay. That was King's Disease by Nas, the great Nas. Happy birthday to the legend.
Oh, I'm having flashbacks with this blindfold on.
You should listen to King's Disease with that blindfold on and go on a sound journey with you, Nas here.
You was definitely banging Nas and Ludacris Virgo.
No. I definitely was not banging that.
That
record.
Beat wasn't too bad. You just made it too specific for y'all birthday.
Yeah, it's a little weird. But happy birthday to Nas, 49 years old. Yes. Looking like he's still 27.
I know. Crazy.
They had a show yesterday, I believe, too, right?
Yep.
Wu-Tang showed up, and Busta Rhymes.
Wonder what it's like at 49 to be on the road during your birthday. You probably just want to go back to the hotel.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. I mean, it's a blessing to be 49 in hip-hop and still be touring because, you know, they say rap and hip-hop is a young man's sport. But
well, I did see that clip that went viral. I don't know if it was really old or recent. Of those two women that were out to dinner at like some resort on an island, and like drunk ass Nas sits down, is like, "Yo, I love both y'all." You ain't see that video?
Nah.
What? Nas definitely fucked both of them.
Well, let's not put that out there like that, but
hypothetically,
I mean, yeah. There you go. See, that changes it. One word changes everything. Hypothetically, he had a great night.
You guys didn't see that video? It was hilarious. They, you know, it was just like one of those like all inclusive resort type shit. It was really nice, and Nas like sat at their table and they were super excited, and you know,
he was being very
respectful, but you could tell Nas had been, you know, participating in beverages throughout the day.
Like, why doesn't that happen to men? Like, why are we never at a resort and like one of our favorite actresses just shows up and just starts talking to us?
Because there's nothing attractive about a bunch of dudes at a table in a tropical island.
Yeah, that's kind of like loser shit.
It looks
like
weird.
Where the ladies at, right?
Like, matter of fact, if you're with a bunch of women, women would want to go over there. Be like, oh, that looks like a nice environment.
Women attract women. Yeah, I get it.
Just you and I chilling like in Turks.
They would think we're a couple.
Probably so.
Yeah, so I would understand why a woman wouldn't approach us and say, hey, guys, you want some company? But ladies, if you do see me at a resort by myself, come see me.
I think it's weird that you're calling these hypothetical women homophobic, but that's cool.
I didn't call them homophobic. Did I say
they wouldn't even want to come to our table because they
were gay? I said they would assume that we were gay.
And they wouldn't want to sit with us because we were gay?
Not that, but they wouldn't approach us in the... Happy birthday to Nas here, man. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're defending people that don't exist.
Happy birthday to Nas. Shout out to... When is King's Disease 3 coming? God damn it.
We need to
hit Hit-Boy and find out, yeah.
I mean, they turn those albums around pretty quickly.
I just
but he is on tour, so it might be a little bit.
It's just so dope that King's Disease 1 and King's Disease 2 sound nothing alike, and it was literally the same two people in the studio.
I like it.
The Emmy Awards were the other night.
Yeah, you guys seemed really excited when everyone walked in today. Wouldn't shut the fuck up about the Emmys.
Yeah, I think Eden's favorite show won. No?
Oh, they did a Telemundo category?
Yeah. you didn't see it?
They no, did. I didn't.
It was a remake.
I didn't know they aired that yeah, you know that award.
You know Eden loves novellas.
Did the George Lopez show win? Wow. It's so crazy that
I loved George Lopez.
I love the George Lopez show too.
A lot of people don't like George Lopez. I never understood.
The sitcom was great. I mean, his stand-up is hit or
was terrible.
It's hit or miss for me. But that sitcom
I like
really
stand-up
enjoyed.
Too. I didn't think his stand-up was terrible. I like George Lopez though. That's I don't know. I just like his.
Where is the daughter from the George Lopez show now? She was fine.
I can't remember who played the daughter on the George Lopez show.
I just have like weird flashbacks whenever Lowrider plays, because I feel like I used to fall asleep to the George Lopez show when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And like I would always just wake up to Lowrider playing.
You just hear it as soon as you wake up?
Yes. It reminds me of high school.
Is this young lady, Maciela?
She looks nothing like how she looked in that show.
Well, wow. Maybe because she has.
She's out. Is that a white woman?
She's Albanian.
She's Albanian.
Interesting. Huh, yeah, the more you know. Albanian. All right. Well, congrats to George Lopez.
The more you know.
For winning an Emmy for his show from 20 years ago. I know Eden was happy. Tell me about the Emmys, guys. You guys were the ones that were fully invested.
Well, the one thing that I was happy about, and I know I'm late, but the one thing I was happy about from the Emmys was Quinta Brunson won for Best Writing in a Drama Series for Abbott Elementary, which is a great show.
For sure.
And I was pleased to find, like, I've been looking at her for a few years. Best Writing in a Comedy Series. I'm sorry. And I was looking at her for a couple years when I was looking at Abbott Elementary. I'm like, she looks like the girl from the viral videos.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he got money. Get it all. You remember that? Remember that? Mm-hmm. And then,
oh, she was hilarious in the early internet viral sketch type of days.
It was so dope. Like, and I'm looking at her, but I don't want to ask stupid questions. But every time I'm watching the show, I'm like, I wanted to ask somebody, is this the same woman from the viral videos back in, 10, 12 years ago? But dope to find out that was her.
Same woman that was Millie rocking in front of the pyramids.
That's her, Quinta Brunson. So shout out to Quinta
Brunson. She should have Millie rocked on stage.
But somebody didn't give her enough space. Jimmy Kimmel was kind of like Millie blocking.
What? Jimmy would never take all the attention.
Listen, it was a bit, and he just played into it, and people were mad that he didn't give her a space to accept her award. But I did see that she was on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night or the night before, I believe. So, they kind of made up, hatched that out. And
I mean, I love to see that type of shit of people just taking the resources.
Jimmy Kimmel's not a bad guy. No, I've seen people get mad at him. I'm like, Jimmy Kimmel? Like, y'all are mad at Jimmy Kimmel because he was doing something he thought was funny, laid out, passed out on the ground. Like,
yes,
Jimmy Kimmel. But shout out to Quinta Brunson. Shout out to Cheryl Lee Ralph. Gave an outstanding acceptance speech. And she won Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. The second time in history that a black woman has won that award.
Mm.
And her acceptance speech was beautiful. It was powerful. It was motivational. It was very passionate. And I think that it did what she wanted it to do. It inspired a lot of women in the industry.
Mm.
A lot of women that's not in the industry, just doing things in their lives that, sometimes lose faith and lose hope on what they're doing. So she gave a credible, incredible speech, an acceptance speech. So salute and shout out to Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Yeah. For sure. And I think, again, with the Quinta thing, too, remember we talked when Insecure was over of just how amazing that was for Issa to succeed in that, because had she not succeeded, anyone coming from the internet world trying to do something themselves, the big networks would say, nah, I think I'm cool.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, just another part of that with Quinta.
Yeah.
That other people that are as just talented and only have the resource of the fucking internet to put stuff out will now be taken seriously. So I love to see that type of stuff.
Shout out to Zendaya as well. She won Best Lead Actress in a Drama for her role as Rue. And Euphoria.
Mm.
Zendaya gave a beautiful speech, and she thanked anyone that may be dealing with drug issues and substance abuse and things like that. Zendaya can't do no wrong, it seems like. Like, she's very well spoken. She's beautiful. Her energy is beautiful. Great actress. And I think I forgave her for making that bullshit bowl of mac and cheese for Washington.
Listen, bro, I think
Zendaya, I finally forgave you for that. I'm past it. I held on to that for a few years.
You need to let go.
Yeah. I held on to that for a few years. That was a terrible bowl of mac and cheese. But after that acceptance speech and, she looked great.
Listen,
I let it go.
You become what hurts you if you don't let it go.
Absolutely.
So I think you just need to let that Kraft mac and cheese
go
before you become the Kraft.
But John David Washington did not deserve that shit at all. But Zendaya looked great. So
they're going to find, how many more years till they try to find something wrong with Zendaya?
As far as what? Like, you think they're going to try to out her as a bad person?
They're going to find, she's been doing too much amazing things, and when people start doing too much things that
they
are great,
something,
it starts to piss
people
off.
They're going to find a tweet.
And like,
I feel like they're going to find a Zendaya tweet
when
somewhere.
She was 11.
Yeah.
She is from the Bay, so.
Oh, yeah. They're going to find her getting hyphy. And I'm like, oh, look at her. She's a culture vulture. They're going to call her a culture vulture or some shit like that.
Or the woke crowd's going to be like, well, she's not really a drug addict. So, like, this is really problematic that she's acting like a drug addict in the show. We need to find the real drug addicts and give them the opportunity.
Give them a platform.
Like, this is just, I can't believe she would even take that role knowing that she's not addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
So that'll come soon, I'm sure.
Shout out to Zendaya. Lizzo won Emmy as well for her TV show, Watch Out for the Big Girls.
I have never watched it, but I do love the Jersey Club song.
That's because you don't watch out for the big girls.
No, I love the big girls.
I love the big girls, too.
That's one of my favorite Jersey Club songs. I was screaming that.
Yeah.
Watch out for the big girl. What? That was my shit.
So Lizzo won She won an award for that show. Lizzo looked great.
What is the show about?
It's a she won best competition program.
So it's a competition. It's a bunch of big girls that are dancers, okay. I believe. So yeah, you know, it's a win for the big girls. Mm. We love the big girls. We salute the big girls.
Julian.
Fat guys.
I'm saying, how do they vet who's qualified?
That is, yeah.
On that show? Like, do you have to send your body mass index? Or like,
and like, is there a specific mass. Pound that you are now no longer consider that?
Is it like a height to weight ratio that's appropriate? What do you, how big is big enough for the show?
Is this not,
good question.
You think they're going to cancel the show for exploiting big girls? I feel like they'll try it. Like, they'll try anything.
Can
days.
We look up what the definition of exploit is? At what point is everything not exploiting? If you're if you're profiting off a specific genre or something, at what point is it not exploiting?
Right.
Your intentions, but you can never really prove intent.
Exploit is a bold or daring feat. Now, if you've seen the show, watch out for the big girls. Some of these girls have had done some daring things on the dance floor.
Make full use of and derive benefit from a resource. Yeah, that's where I think exploit is a very odd word.
Yeah.
Can there be positive exploitation? Like, hey, we're putting positive light on it, but we're still profiting, so we are exploiting it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so I think, I haven't seen the show, but it sounds like they're exploiting big women, which I think is very problematic. Everything is problematic.
But either way, they won. Squid Game won, they won 6 awards. They were nominated 14 different times. So that was a big night for Squid Game. Squid Game 2 is, I believe, coming soon as well on Netflix. I'm not sure which way they're going to go with this season 2. Now that we know the plot and we know what the Squid Game is about, like, where do they go? Does it become more of a thing about the people that are controlling the game?
Well, I think they were exploiting people with gambling problems and exploiting murder.
Yeah, that's exactly what
they which is what I felt with
and
it.
So death.
Squid Game, yeah, I hope they...
And tag, freeze tag. Like, you can't exploit freeze tag.
We really tried to make him... think he was a hero in that last episode. What was the main character's name?
That your brain retains that information, really,
yeah,
not mine.
Say, you'll know before we do.
Not
yeah.
the names. He was really like a good guy towards the end, and he gave the money to his man's mom and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And just like every other gambling addict, he was about to get on that plane and was like, nah, let me go back to the card table.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see... what other vices come in?
It's going to be interesting to see where they go with this one. Like,
he
we know
was
the
about
game.
To go see his daughter. All he wanted to do was help his daughter.
He should have just
the
got
whole
on
show. I'm doing this for my daughter. I'm doing this for my daughter. It's kind of like Breaking Bad when the whole time he was like, I'm just doing it for my family. And then at the end of the show, he's like, nah, I was actually good at this shit and I liked it.
He should have.
He went to go see his daughter. Turned right around when he got the call from the gamblers.
That's about, why didn't he just get on the flight?
Yeah, because
he's a gambling addict and.
Just get on the fucking flight, man. Like, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see where they go season 2.
One of the awards they won was for, like, best episode, which was the Red Light, Green Light episode,
mm-hmm.
which was actually a really, really, really good episode.
I was champion of Red Light, Green Light 3 summers in a row. You have no idea, Damaris. 3 summers in a row.
10 beats for 3 summers?
Oh, damn it.
I was a red light green light champion.
Yeah,
could never catch me moving. Like, they call me Young Statue.
Plant those hips firm in the ground.
Exactly.
I've been to the Bronx. I've never heard anyone be like, "Oh, you pod with Statue,
yeah,
right?"
They call me Young Statue.
With Statue.
Young Statue.
It's like, is he even breathing? Look
no,
at
you
that
young
kid.
Young Statue of Limitations. That's what you are.
That's right, Rory. Back to BET. The Hip Hop Awards. The nominees are in for the Lyricist of the Year.
Is this what they led with? They put all the BET nominations out, right? But this was the one that caused.
Well, you know, this is the one that's gonna always cause. Whenever they put a rap list together, this is always gonna cause a frenzy in the comment section, and people are gonna repost and tell us what you think. So the nominees for the BET Hip Hop Lyricist, Hip Hop Awards BET Lyricist of the Year: Baby Keem, Benny the Butcher, Drake, J. Cole, Jack Harlow, Jay-Z, and Kendrick Lamar.
What was the cutoff date that you had to submit lyrics before? Because Hov shouldn't be on here. I understand the verse that was on Khaled's album, which is great, but that shit was like 2 weeks ago. So I really feel like you put this list together longer than 2 weeks ago.
Else,
so I don't think Hov should be on there.
Who else shouldn't be on here?
I love Keem. I think Keem is more of a performer than he is a lyricist. I wouldn't put Keem on there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand popularity and all that shit, but this is the BET Hip Hop Awards, not the BET Awards. I don't know if Jack should be on there for lyricist. as far as what Drake did in the year, I don't know if lyricist is there. So best the rap list. Artist you could put, I wouldn't be mad at all. But lyricist, Drake, I don't know. Cole did a whole rap album. Definitely should be there. Benny should definitely be there. Push just put out an incredible lyric album. Push should be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick should be on there with the album. But no, I don't think Jack, Hove, or Keem, or Drake, for that matter, should matter for this year's cycle of lyricist.
But what is the cycle? Because it's not
J.I.D. certainly needs to be on there.
Well, but the cycle would be from the last awards, right? So that would be 2021. So September, October 2021 until October 2022.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I don't think Jack Harlow should be on there. Maybe the BET awards.
Am I the only one that feels like Lil Baby should be on here?
Did Baby put stuff out?
Mad at that.
I think Baby could rap.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Who else was on that list that was in the headline of people that were missing? The Boldy James of the world are on there when you come to the lyrics of the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vince Staples 100% should be on there as far as lyrics. He put out two albums within that time that should be there.
Mm-hmm.
Black Thought put out projects. Like, I just think I get the names, but do that because it's the Hip Hop Awards. Do that for Artist of the Year. Not lit. Like, let's try to make it cool for the specific categories rather than just pick the most popular people.
It's starting to sound like it's starting to feel like this category is more of a popularity thing.
Yeah.
Than just really lyricist of the year.
Like, I appreciate that Jack Harlow can rap and he's one of the biggest rappers currently, but I wouldn't put him on the lyricist category. If you want to put Jack Harlow best rap artist and he wins, I would have no issue with that. I understand it, but
The other nominees are, and this is it, best hip hop video, ASAP Rocky, Baby Keem, City Girls featuring Usher, Cardi B, Kanye West, Lil Durk, Bia J. Cole, Future featuring Drake and Timbs. That's obviously gonna win. And Drake featuring Future and Young Thug.
I think that ASAP Rocky video should win. To be quite honest. That video is incredible.
Really good video.
I didn't even know there was a hot shit video for Cardi, Kanye. I remember the controversy, but did it ever come out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, wow.
Someone doesn't watch PRL.
You did not. That was not one of your PRL picks.
I would never pick that for PRL. Best collaboration, Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar, City Girls featuring Usher, Cardi B, Kanye West, Lil Durk, Drake featuring 21 Savage, Benny the Butcher, Future featuring Drake and Timbs.
I think that should win.
Drake, yeah. Future, and Young Thug. Anything with Timbs in best collaboration is going to win.
For sure.
She's easily one of the hottest artists in the world. Best duo group, 4-2 Doug and ESTG, Big Sean and Hit-Boy, Birdman and Youngboy Never Broke Again, Blast and Beano Redo, DaBaby, YoungBoy Never Broke Again, Earth Gang, Styles P and Havoc. That 42 Doug and ESTG album was dope.
They, to me, I think are the landslide win there. I'd love to see that Havoc and P are on there.
Yeah. Best live performer, Cardi B, Doja Cat, Drake, J. Cole, Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar, Tyler, the Creator. I would have to give that one to maybe Tyler.
I was going to say, though, after watching that Kendrick show.
Yeah. Yeah, Kendrick's show.
I mean, I know
hard.
He's still on it currently with the timing, but yeah. Kendrick deserves to be there. That tour is insane.
Lyricist of the Year we just did. I would go with Kendrick Lamar on that one. Can you scroll up? I can't see the category before that. Thank you, Video Director of the Year. Who had the... I would give it to Tiana. Fuck it. Give it to Tiana.
You would give the... Even if she wasn't nominated to any category.
Tiana, she directed. She did a great job this year in her directorial debut. I think she did a good job. Song of the Year.
How is Hot Shit Cardi B, Kanye West, Lil Durk under Song of the Year round? Someone at BET explain that to me. Why that should be there.
I haven't heard that
song. Yeah, I'm going with either Kodak Black with Super Gremlin or Wait For You. Future featuring Drake and Timbs on that one.
You know what I really think... especially within hip hop, with these award shows and these publications that put them out, with podcasts being so big and content being so fucking important, and the attention of these is just plummeting with award shows, they need to get all the people that are on this panel that put this together, and y'all need to pod and explain to the world why these people are nominated. That would be amazing. I'm not joking. I think everyone that did this shit needs to start a podcast series leading up to the BET Awards, and you need to pod about Song of the Year and tell me in that room why Hot Shit, Cardi B, Kanye West, and Lil Durk is nominated for Song of the Year. For each category, I think they need to explain, and that drives way more attention and debates and arguments and makes it have more purpose for the award show. Aren't and you, you need content. You need debate. That's what hip hop is for. It's to debate.
It's
so we're stand by your terrible not, nominations.
Yeah,
and gonna, tell us why.
The voting committee.
Oh,
not,
you're on the voting not, committee, not the panel. Who?
Not the nominees.
We don't. Oh well, the labels the make the nominees.
I was gonna say it's just their relationship with Atlantic Records.
Yeah.
Hip hop album of the year: Lotto, Drake, Kanye West, Future, Pusha T, Nas, and Kendrick Lamar. I'm gonna go with Kendrick Lamar on that one.
I'm gonna push it.
I think I might for hip hop album of the year. I would put Pusha T there. It's almost dry.
Hip hop artist of the year: Cardi B, Doja Cat, Drake, Future, Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar, Megan Thee Stallion. Again, I would go with Kendrick Lamar in that one as well.
That's so interesting that Jack Harlow is not hip hop artist of the year nominated, but nominated lyricist. For lyricist of the year. That is so
not because you don't listen to his lyrics. Like you don't really break down Jack's bars. You got to break down Jack's bars. That's the thing. Pause.
Cool question. Sorry. Maul, for yes. Song of the Year.
Yes.
You're putting Super Gremlin
yes.
over Song of the Year. You're putting Super Gremlin over First Class and Big Energy.
Absolutely. Have you seen what Super Gremlin does when Kodak performs that record?
Yes, but it's not just about him performing it. It's about where it gets played, how often it gets played.
That record literally the plays amount of everywhere. People who,
I'm sorry, but Big Energy plays everywhere. I was just watching the Emmys and it was playing when people were walking up onto the stage.
Yeah, but you don't think Big Energy is Song of the Year. You don't think that.
I think it should be nominated. I don't
it's
know
not, well, it is nominated.
But that's I'm, what I'm saying. I agree
I
with the nomination.
I think Wait For You should win.
I'm between not, Super Gremlin and Wait For You.
But I'm just saying, I think that Big Energy right, well, let me was give, a bigger since, song than Super Gremlin.
Since we're shitting on Jack, First Class is...
That
could
too?
Definitely win that shit for
that
real.
Too?
That was one of the biggest records of the year.
I thought, I understand the first, again, we back to the sample thing. We know why we like the record, why it was a hit. The sample, we love it. But I thought Nail Tech was a better record than First Class.
First Class. When we're doing Song of the Year, we're not talking about what song is actually better. Like, that's not what's important.
Yeah, because half of these songs shouldn't even be nominated.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. We're not talking about what song is actually better. We're just talking about which song had the most popularity.
And Song of the Year, me personally, just from what I saw, what Super Gremlin did and what Wait For You did, those are my two picks.
It would be cool for them to do Verse of the Year for the Hip Hop Awards.
True.
Because I don't think any...
You know, Hov did. You know, that's going to win.
I mean, if it made it in the right time, I would definitely put Drake's
Churchill
shit on Jack's album. That would be up there. But yeah, Verse of the Year would be cool. Because that would be like, you can't go with the name shit in that one. You kind of have to be honest with that category.
Yeah.
You couldn't be like, the label will submit like, bro, we know that verse isn't good. compared
Damn.
To everything else.
Will they got do nominated the- and y'all didn't? That's crazy.
Best hip hop player. Well, we've won this. We're alumni of this already. Like, we want the next generation, you know, we pass the torch.
That makes sense.
Are you going to present the award?
Yeah, we should actually.
That would be
best hip hop platform: Big Boys Neighborhood, Breakfast Club, Carisha Please, Complex, Drink Champs, Hip Hop DX, $1 million Worth of Game, NPR, Tiny Desk, Versus. I guess Versus. If we're doing the year,
the best.
I know 2020 was like their biggest shit, but 2021 they still Versus was up there.
I think Drink Champs.
And Drink Champs had some moments.
I'll give it to Drink Champs over versus maybe last year or the year before. But
I personally would like to see Drink Champs win that just from a podcast perspective. But Complex still cover hip hop? You guys think I'm trying to be funny. I'm not like, do they have a hip hop show anymore? Do they have?
Me and you were on Complex with B-Dot breaking down Hov's worst
records. Outside of B-Dot's platform, do they do anything else? I mean, obviously they had Rosenberg Show, Everyday Struggle, a bunch of Jinx and all that stuff. It was very hip-hop based at one point. I just feel like they've left that in its entirety outside of B-Dot. And that's not even B-Dot's biggest platform.
Yeah. probably Drink Champs will win that. They had some really big moments in the year. Hustler of the Year, 50 Cent, Cardi B, DJ Khaled, Drake, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Megan Thee Stallion.
Jay-Z is the hustler of every year. Like, that's not even, like, fun.
I mean, DJ Khaled literally got everybody in the world on his album. That takes a lot of hustle.
I mean, Kanye, even though he's going through it with Gap and Adidas, getting on the board for Gap, like all the tech shit Kanye's doing, like he's kind of hustling. Like, I understand, like,
well, he just announced that he's parting ways with Gap after he's the line that's out now is done. He's not producing anything.
Like, I fully understand that it's cool when Khaled will collab with an alcohol brand and do a cool TikTok and all that. But Kanye is doing some world changing moves as far as business and hustling goes. I just kind of feel like Kanye would be the one.
50 Cent has mad shows out on
50's right definitely up there for it. And I stand corrected. There is best featured verse. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Drake.
Cole Poke It Out. Cole London was also a great verse. Lil Baby, Girls Want Girls. That was a great verse. Kanye, City of Gods. I would put Favio's verse on the Donda album before I would put Kanye from the Favio shit.
Yeah.
Favio spazzed on the Donda album.
You can't say that.
Favio spazzed on the Donda album.
Oh, you white privilege. My bad. I forgot.
Drake, Wait For You, great. Jadakiss, Black Illuminati with Gibbs. Yeah, that's great too. I'm not mad at that category. It's a good category.
Impact track, About Damn Time, Lizzo, City of Gods, Favio Foreign, Family Ties, Baby Keem and Kendrick, Nobody, Nas featuring Miss Lauryn Hill. Family Ties probably win that.
Yeah.
What was impactful about
what
City
is
of
that?
Gods?
What is it?
I like the song City of Gods, but what impacted the world? You know, what was said on there that she was like, damn, I never thought of it that way.
That was the new Empire State of Mind.
No, it wasn't. Yes.
I'm telling you, it got Alicia Keys for that very reason. What are you talking about?
Oh, actually, like, These lower tier categories, like DJ of the Year, I love. That's dope.
K-Tronada.
K-Tronada should win that, in my opinion. Though Leakers, like Sour Milk and Incredible, those freestyles have been going fucking nuts. So,
yeah.
For sure. And K-Slay, I hope, no matter what, they honor K-Slay.
Absolutely.
Regardless of whatever happens in that category. Producer of the Year, ATL Jacob, Keem, Hit-Boy, Hitmaker, Kanye, Metro Boomin.
It's
going
to be hard to not give it to Hit-Boy again.
I would say it would be between ATL, Jacob, Hit-Boy, and Berg.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be the three that I think would deserve it
best.
The most.
Breakthrough hip-hop artist, Baby Keem, Blast, Dolce, Favio, Foreign, Glorilla, Nardowick, Saucy, Santana. I would go Blast and Glorilla.
Yeah, I like Blast. I mean, I love Keem, but I mean, the breakthrough was DNA.
Mm-hmm. Damn, fuck Favio. Y'all not really
it was like, you know, first cousins.
Now that Blast album was
fuck
great.
Favio, but I don't. Favio's been out for a while.
Yeah, I understand that he got more popular with his relationship with Kanye and everything, but Favio was popping. Like, yeah. I wouldn't put him in this category because I felt like he broke through already. And I fuck with Nardowick too. I just don't think he's there yet.
And Blast has been, he's been dope for a while too, but this last year for him, he has some really, like, really big features on projects and shit like that. So,
for sure. And Drama, I think, should win just because he did our podcast. Like, I feel like that.
Shout out to DJ Drama.
That solidifies him as DJ of the year.
When are the awards? Do we know?
October 2nd or something like that.
BET Hip Hop Awards, October 2nd. So yeah, those are the.
Are they doing the ciphers?
September 30th.
I don't know where I saw October. Pardon me. Are they doing the ciphers? Because that's like why we love this award show.
I would think so, but maybe a different type of cipher, maybe.
Did they do the ciphers last year?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
The last cipher I remember was the one where Brandy, Tiana, and...
Yes.
So was that 2 years ago or last year?
What?
Yeah, I feel like they changed the format a bit. I want them to go back to the just...
Oh, yeah.
So a bunch of different groups.
I was
going to
say, what crew would you like to see... Do a cipher.
A QC to close the show would be incredible. Like, especially from like the eras, like when Good Music would do a full, TDE did a full one. Like, I think a QC, and of course, it's unfortunate that Gunna wouldn't be able to participate, but yes, QC. Oh, and the Migos. That would be weird. Never mind. I take it back.
Let's wait to finish
2023.
Who's gonna do it? Like, are they gonna be in the same room? Like, obviously a Dreamville cipher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dreamville would be really, really good.
I would like to see a pussy rap cipher. That would make me happy.
Who?
A pussy rap cipher.
Who's the pussy raps?
A pussy rap cipher, like all the girls.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
From pussy rap.
Obviously, that just talk about their pussy.
It's not a group, Maul. Like, pussy.
Oh, that's why I was confused. I'm like, who's...
Maul was looking at me like I have six heads. Like, who the
fuck? I thought this was like a new crew. I'm about to be like, how do I not know these girls? Like, the pussy raps?
And instead of like how we usually would do ciphers, like, yo, who got who? Who do you think is the wettest pussy based off the bars that they set?
Like, who got the best pussy? Like, I was like, yo, like, let's figure it out.
Oh my God.
That would be funny though, because anytime there was like the gangster rap cipher, be like, all right, who could out gun rap? Who's probably has most bodies? Now it's literally like, who literally has shit dripping down their leg while they're rapping right now.
Yeah. Who's wet?
Who slipped in this puddle?
Who left the puddle?
That would be the most moist cipher ever. PG Lang, I know there's, I don't know if they've announced people they're signing, but Kendrick and Keem kind of leading whatever that collective is going to be. Oh yeah, CMG, Cypher. There's a lot of really good rap crews.
Yeah.
Which could be, I think, dope to focus on with the Cyphers.
Well, we have to see. I'm not sure if they're doing Cyphers. I'm going to say yes. We don't have any word of who's doing it as of yet, but I'm going to say that there will be a Cypher this year.
Before we get off rap, did you see the Simba flex freestyle? And he did Sway this morning too.
Absolutely. So Simba, shout out to Simba, man. We talked about him. That's our guy. We talked about him a few times on the show.
Album out now as well.
Album out now. If you're listening to this album on DSPs, what he did on that flex freestyle was he checked all the boxes. It was clever. It was witty. His flow, he had bars, he said something, he had substance, character. I mean, he did a lot in that freestyle. Seeing a lot of people that didn't really know how dope Simba was that saw that freestyle, was really impressed by it. And that's what those freestyles are about. People that really don't know the artist, don't know their music, they see these freestyles and they get a glimpse of the artist. And I was just so happy to see that Simba performed the way he did, him addressing the whole Tupac flex rant thing. Very clever, very witty.
And for those that haven't seen it yet, Flex for the past few years has been very critical of Tupac and has gotten on IG Live screaming that Tupac lied and Flex started crying. We've used it as drops before. It's been one of our favorite rants ever. Mm-hmm. Simba did a great job of making that seem lighthearted while I thought he was dead serious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he was dead serious. But
like,
I
think he was joking around, but I could tell Simba was like, no, seriously, you're going to stop doing that shit.
No, he was serious, but it was, it was also in the, like, come on, Flex. Like, it wasn't like he was mad at Flex. He was more so like Flex, cut it out. You know what I mean? But it was just, he got his point across. He got his shit off. And he did his thing, man.
So you were saying a lot of shit that was on a lot of people's mind, but next time you do it, please just don't cry.
Yeah. No, Simba, he did his thing. And like you said, album out now on your DSPs. Shout out to Simba.
What did you think about the last line of the freestyle?
Simba's freestyle, he closed it with an RIP to PNB Rock. You dudes from the block kill more niggas than cops. While it's a good bar, it's sad that it's a true bar and it's a real bar. RIP, prayers and condolences to PNB Rock.
Absolutely.
Prayers and condolences to his family. We lost him Monday. He was killed in the Roscoe's in California. And, you know, it was unfortunate. A lot of people jumped out there online and kind of blamed it and pointed fingers at his girlfriend, posting a picture and a location of where they were. Sadly, the LAPD has confirmed that they believe that is how the killer found them. I believe PNB Rock had posted a picture in the parking lot before they went in, and then his girl posted a picture and tagged the location. And, you know, I have a lot of friends and family in LA, and, you know, the first thing all of them said was, you know, we don't know why he would even be at that specific location, at that specific Roscoe's. We're born and raised in LA, and we wouldn't even go on that side of town to that Roscoe's, let alone go there with a bunch of jewelry on and a nice car, alone, no security. It was just a unfortunate tragedy, man. It was a careless tragedy. You know, he honestly, he shouldn't. And it's sad that we got to say you shouldn't be over there. You shouldn't be on that side, because PNB Rock probably figured he's not a guy that has a lot of beef. He doesn't really, you know, have issues with anybody. He's a positive guy. He doesn't carry that negative energy with him. And he figured, you know, I'm going to support a black owned business in a black neighborhood. Why not? You know what I mean? But unfortunately, in our culture, we've seen this way too many times where people are jealous. You know, people are lazy. People are broke. People don't want to get a job. People would rather put a gun in your face and take what you have to feed themselves for however long it would last. You know, whatever they take from you. So, you know, it was a careless move on his part. Definitely is a side of town you do not want to be on, without no security, wearing hundreds of thousands thousands of dollars of jewelry on. Some of these people over there have literally nothing in their pockets and they have nothing to lose. And you can't put yourself in a situation where you're faced with somebody that has nothing to lose and you have everything to lose because you're going to lose every time. So it's unfortunate. You know what I mean? It was sad to hear that. I didn't know PNB Rock personally, but this affected me. You know, I couldn't stop thinking about him because I just, you know, it's fucked up when, you know, good people end up in a bad situation and, you know, end up dying as a result of it over, you know, jewelry and shit like that. Shit that means nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely not worth your life. He should still be with us. You know what I mean? It's just unfortunate we continue to do this to each other in our community. Like, we just, for whatever reason, we have so much self-hate and, you know, we hate to see people with nice things if we don't have it for whatever reason. You know what I mean? We all have 24 hours in a day. You choose to use yours how you use yours. I use mine the way I use mine. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, you have people, again, that don't have nothing to lose and they'll gladly come and destroy a family and to put a gun in your face and kill you over your valuables. So, you know, prayers to PNB Rock. Again, prayers to his family, his daughter, prayers to his girlfriend and his child's mother.
Absolutely.
You know, she's received so much unfortunate tweets sent her way from celebrities and, you know, people that's just jumping out there. Like, you know, in no way do I think that she, you know, meant to post a location thinking that people would come there and kill PNB Rock. You know, again, they just out having a good time. And, you know, sometimes we just in autopilot with the way we tweet and post things, not really being cognizant of our surroundings and where we're at. And people might show up to do some harm to us. Like, we just out having lunch or whatever. So prayers to her, because I know this is, you know, she was there. She witnessed the entire thing. She lost the father of her child, the man that she loves. And unfortunately, you know, some people that she's probably a fan of and he was a fan of and his peers are now tweeting and directing things her way that are just, you know, stupid, unnecessary. We need to be more loving. We need to, you know, reach out to her and make sure she's good, make sure her mental health is right, make sure his daughter is good. Like, instead of, like, we just have this, we so quick to point fingers and hate, send hate each other's way. It's fucking crazy, man. Like, we should be enjoying this culture, this natural resource called hip hop. It's something that we should be enjoying. We should be cherishing. We should be loving. And it's always a sign, you know, we always reminded of how much hate and envy we have for each other when situations like this happen. So it's unfortunate all the way around, man. But either way, a life was lost that should not have been lost and should not have been taken from us. And his family is forever devastated behind that. So prayers and condolences to PNB Rock and his family, his daughter. And again, man, we send nothing but, Rory and Maul send nothing but love, Yahweh.
Yeah, and as much as the internet loves to tell people what they should be doing, y'all should shut the fuck up sometimes. Now, we've always been advocates of not posting where you are on this podcast for years.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, neither of them should have posted where they were at. But we do not know that is why they found out where PNB was. Everyone jumped the gun and just immediately put it on her. Like, she's not dealing with also being robbed at gunpoint, watching her boyfriend die in front of her.
Yeah.
You think a bunch of fucking idiots that weren't there, that don't know even know how these dudes got the drop on PNB. Now let's just put it on her.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all didn't learn from what happened with Pop. And I'm talking to the internet now, because the internet keeps saying, oh, y'all didn't learn from Pop. Did the internet learn from Pop? Because y'all went to his best friend's fucking IG, who just watched his friend get murdered in front of him, and blamed him for setting Pop up.
Yeah.
And then we found out that was not the fucking case.
Right.
So this dude, who's also 20 years old, is grieving his friend that was murdered in front of him. And now you fucks are in his comments saying, yo, you set your best friend up, you piece of shit, die in hell. Like, internet sometimes just need to shut the fuck up.
Well, you know, we talk about it a lot. The internet is filled with people that their job and their objective every day they wake up going on the internet is to spew hate and, you know, to just, you know, say distasteful things. Like, everybody has a smartphone. Everybody has access to social media. So, you know, which is why you can't share so many things, because as much as you do it for love, it's a lot of people out there who literally are miserable and walk around trying to project that misery on other people. So, you know, it's unfortunate. But again, man, we got to learn.
Is that going to change it? Do you think she needed to hear that?
I know, of course not. But again, we it's the internet. It's the internet. And it's unfortunate that, you know, a lot of it came from celebrities and, you know, people that PNB probably worked with or wanted to work with or had some type of rapport with. And, you know, it's just fucked up because, again, you know, she posted a picture in a location.
Shouldn't have done it.
But shouldn't have done it.
We still don't even know that that was the reason why.
Right.
Dudes could have been plotting on him for days, following him everywhere.
The LAPD did say that. LAPD said they believe that's why, just the same way the internet believes. Yeah, right. That's why, but they can't prove it until they found out who did it.
And understand,
he posted his location 45 minutes before she did.
Right, and we understand that, again, that may be the reason how they found where he was at. But again, talking to LA natives that I'm very close with, you know, they say, okay, we understand she did that, but the way that lot is set up, you come over there in a nice car like that, you walk in that Roscoe's with all that jewelry on, somebody that's probably in there dining, somebody that's probably standing outside just chilling in the lot, the eyes were on you from the moment that nice car pulled into that lot. People want to know who that is, who's over there. Like, so yes, she posted a picture, he posted a picture. That didn't, you know, that definitely gave away the location. Do we know if that specific gentleman that killed PNB was on internet and he saw that? We don't know that. You know what I mean? It's just unfortunate.
Until we do.
Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate that it happened. It's unfortunate that, you know, this continues to happen. I mean, you know, it's you know, L.A. right now, it's a real bad energy in L.A. It's a real negative, dark energy over L.A. You got to be very careful. Again, there's so many people out here that have nothing and they want to take from you. They're not trying to do nothing to better themselves. They just want to go get a gun and rob you and, you know, possibly end up killing you and going on about their lives because they have nothing to live for. So you can't put yourself around. I know we want to say we support the hood and, you know, we go back and we're not scared to go back to the hood and we support black owned businesses that's in the hood. And that's all good, but we also got to be careful. We got to move carefully when we're doing that. If you want to go support black owned businesses, cool, go. Rappers, you don't have to walk around with the rapper image on all day. You don't have to have all your jewelry on when you're running errands and just going to get lunch and things like that. Like, leave the jewelry in the hotel. Leave the jewelry in the house. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't got to move around the streets with all your jewelry on every day, all day. People still know who you are. People still respect you. You know what I mean? Like, we just can't wave this jewelry and this money in front of people that have nothing. And they don't give a fuck. They have nothing to lose. You talking about bum-ass niggas to the highest degree. Motherfuckers that have nothing going on in their lives. And we putting ourselves in their vicinity and on their radar. Of course they're going to take a shot if they can. You know what I mean? Because they don't have nothing else to do. These are bum-ass motherfuckers that just do nothing all day, sit on their ass and just wait to take something from somebody. So let's not make it easy for them. But again, in the same breath, let's pray for PNB Rock and his family. Let's pray for his daughter. Let's pray for his child's mother. Let's pray for his friends, his family, like everybody that loved him, that knew him. Because either way you cut it, picture, no picture posted, no location posted. This is a tragedy. It shouldn't have happened. And it continues to happen in our community. And the shit is stupid. The shit is senseless. And it needs to fucking stop. Bottom line. So prayers to PNB Rock.
Yeah. And I mean, such a talented artist. Yeah. Like, you know how many kids PNB has now?
Mm.
And this current wave of music. Like, PNB was definitely early on a lot of that trap and B type.
Yeah.
Type of melodic style. So, you know, his legacy, even while he was here, was already solidified. You know, so that makes it even more unfortunate that a 30-year-old that had already made such an impact with how music is sounding now was taken away from us. So,
and I don't know how true it is, but it was an interesting graphic I saw that was up that he was another Empire artist.
He was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was lost.
Which again, I know the internet is going to internet. That's just another thing I think is stupid, and I'm not here to defend Empire on a personal level, but from what I've known between them and artists, they typically have some of the best artist to label relationships from a personal level with their roster.
Yeah.
You rarely have ever heard an artist complain about Empire.
Mm-hmm.
They all have a great relationship. So when these artists pass away, you don't think it affects the people at Empire, they're personally invested in a lot of these artists too, outside of the music. They're friends with them. So when you guys go on the internet and come up with this conspiracy that Empire is trying to murder all its artists because it spikes streams and their back catalog, they'll make more money. I'm sure that's not fun for Ghazi and everyone over there that legitimately has taken a concept that is profitable to an artist more than any other label right now and does right by every single artist. And it has a personal relationship with every single artist and make sure their families get everything, to have the nerve to go on fucking Twitter and just come up with this theory that these nice guys from San Francisco are murdering people in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. People are extremely insensitive, and I'm not even saying they think about it when they tweet. They may not even realize how insensitive they're being to people's families and to people's loved ones and friends when they just spew this bullshit.
Yeah.
Because then it starts to catch legs, and then people go outside, and now people are thinking, I had something to do with killing an artist that I considered a friend. Like, it's fucking weird.
Again, it's weird. And, you know, you celebrities, you know, you artists that are well off and rich, you know, sometimes just don't say nothing.
Yeah, can you guys really delve into that? Because you have a platform, and you're obviously, you guys don't have the platforms of some of these artists that tweeted about this, but you know the responsibility and how much your fans.
There's a huge responsibility that you have, and these artists know that. You know what I mean? Like, these artists know the responsibility they have, because soon as you know it's time for them to push an album, you know, as soon as it's time for them to defend themselves when their name is caught up in some shit, as soon as it's time for people to pray for them. As soon as it's time for them to go to court and be on trial for shit, they want support and all of that from the community and from the culture. So listen, you know, when it's somebody else going through something, just remember that, you know, you be in that situation at times too, where you need people to pray for you and just not say hateful things and not say dumb shit on platforms. Like, that, it's as simple as that. Like, you wouldn't want people to do it to you. If that was you laying in the street or laying in a restaurant bleeding, fighting for your life, you wouldn't want another celebrity, another artist tweeting your loved one, you stupid, because why would you do that? You wouldn't want that to happen.
That's what I'm thinking.
Life is just that simple. You would not want somebody to do that to you or your loved one.
And can you imagine, all right, let's say the people that were super PNB rock fans, because he definitely had a fan base that was extra. Mm-hmm. And even with these artists that work with him or fucked with him and claim they're saying these things out of love, do you think PNB, because he has expressed how much he loved his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think PNB would want you guys, after he's murdered, to blame and talk shit about his girl while she's grieving a murder she watched? Are you guys, since you love PNB so much, you think that's what he would want?
Yeah, it just comes down to
I'm asking.
That.
Do you think that's what PNB would want?
It's that simple. It just comes down to, you know, he would not want that, and you wouldn't want it done to you.
Hell no.
It's just that life is just that simple. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. You would not want people tweeting that to your loved one after images. First of all, social media for allowing that image to circulate of PNB on the floor fighting for his life. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's just things like that. We become so desensitized. We become so numb to this shit. Like, this is just another day. This is just another artist that we lost. Another life that we lost. You know, this time next week, it'll unfortunately be somebody else that we'll be talking about. You know what I mean? And that's just the sad reality of it. But it's only in our culture. It's only in the hip hop culture. Like, and that's the problem I have with it. Like, we're so open to letting anybody in our culture. We're so open to letting anybody come in and profit off of our culture. And then we do shit like not support each other in a time of death and tragedy. Like, the least we can do, like, we let people rape our culture and take from our culture every day and feed their families. The least we can do when one of us are dead and dying and is the least we can do is support the family with kind words, reaching out to them in private, helping out where we can. You know, like, instead of tweeting, wanting to be the first to just tweet and report some shit or say some shit or voice some shit, like,
and make it about you. Look at what I said about
it. Yeah, it's just like this shit is just too much, man. It's just too much. People are so desensitized. People are just so selfish. People are just so, you know, they have no remorse and no regard for what they say and what they do. And they just, you know, once you hit send on social media, you can't. We saw it. We read it. We can't forget those words, and it's fucked up. But again, the point remains: rest in peace to PNB Rock. Prayers and condolences to his family. Surround him with love. Surround him with strength. Surround him with guidance.
For sure,
that's the bottom line. All that other negative shit is just noise, stupidity, and miserable people. That's what that really is. It's miserable people just wanting to project their misery onto other people.
Yeah, and to Damaris's point of us having a platform. We've all mismanaged our platform sometimes, said some things we didn't mean, maybe we're insensitive. I just think we all need to deal with these types of things differently on social media. That's all. We need to be extra responsible when it comes to this type of shit with the platforms that we have. We've all made mistakes on our platforms. We've all said shit that was probably not the right thing. But when it comes to this stuff, yeah, it can't be the first thing that comes off the top of your head to your thumbs to the phone.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta just tread lighter when it comes to this type of shit, because you're dealing with people that are dealing with absolute tragedy at the moment.
My thing is this. When I saw the video in the location, of course I thought to myself, damn, why would she post that? I thought it to myself.
Of course.
I'm not going to project that on social media.
Exactly.
Where it could find a way to her phone or find a way to, you know, his family and they read that. Like, what? Of course I thought it. Like, damn, that was such a careless mistake. And that's exactly what it is. It's just a careless mistake. It's a mistake. We've all made mistakes. We all do things that's like, damn, I should have did that. This one just happened to be a tragic mistake. But you don't, you know, you don't out her and you don't point fingers at her. You don't blame her for his death. You don't do that. Like, you can't, that she's already under enough mental stress. And after seeing that, like, her life is forever changed. Mm-hmm. So we can't, like, we can't compound that with, you know, negative words directed her way. Like, that's just, it's fucked up and it's wrong, and we should not do that.
And, like, how important do y'all think y'all are? Like, do you think...
Well, they're very important.
Do you think you said that, and then while she's grieving the murder, she's like, oh, fuck, this random page on Twitter, I never even thought of it that way. So, like, who are you really telling? No, you're just tweeting to make yourself feel like you have something important to say at the time.
And I feel
no matter how right we all thought it, but it doesn't mean it necessarily has to be...
For the celebrities, and exactly when they're saying, oh, you're saying RIP, PNB, but what it looks like is you're trying to garner attention for yourself, because you know that this is a hot topic on the internet right now, and you have to go on the internet, say a tweet, and then double down on your tweet. You're now making this about you and your fan base and people arguing with you.
Well, people, like I said, people are miserable.
Hey, but
people are
and exploitative. Like,
yeah, people are home, and they're sitting in these nice houses, but... It ain't no love in these houses. It ain't no good energy in these houses, in these mansions. I don't give a fuck how big your property is. You know what I mean? You late when your head hit the pillow at night and you look up at the ceiling, you miserable. You don't like where you at. You know, mentally, you fucked up. You know what I mean? And you project that on other people. And people can see it. There's smart people out here. Like, people know misery when they see it. They know when people are not happy with themselves, when people are insecure. We can see right through that shit. And it's just unfortunate that people use a time and tragedy to display exactly how insecure they are, to display exactly how miserable they are, instead of just sending love. You know what I mean? Just send love and support. Like, that's all. They, you know, send love and support to the family. Like, fuck how you feel about it. Fuck how you view the situation. Just send love and support to the family. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Life is just that simple. Fuck your personal feelings. Send love and support and get out the way.
Also, man, other tragic news. Jesse Powell passed away at 51. It was reported that he passed away peacefully, but rest in peace to Jesse Powell. Incredible musician,
one of the
vocalists,
best R&B voices we had. One of the biggest records, R&B records in the 90s with you.
One of the best wedding reception vocalists of all time.
Anytime there was a display of love in the air, you had to play you.
For sure.
Can you sing us a little bit of it, Mom?
I cannot sing in that key that Jesse Powell was singing in. I won't even try.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to disrespect.
I'm cool. But yeah, I read that today when we came in. I didn't even hear of Jesse Powell's passing. But rest in peace, prayers, condolences to his family. And yeah, let's play you. Let's play you all weekend.
I'm with it.
Let's just clean the house to you.
Run up the streams. Just let Jesse.
Yeah, PNB Rob. His song Selfish went number one.
On Apple charts.
On the Apple charts. So that was, you know, that was unfortunate, but it was good to see that people were in their own way paying homage and, you know, streaming PNB's record.
Yeah.
But again, rest in peace to Jesse Powell as well.
It's these tragedy topics that with podcasting is...
Yeah,
it dampers the conversation.
Yeah,
so much
a somber mood. But let's do our best to just, you know, send prayers and love and support to the family and do what we do.
To try to bring some more, I don't want to say uplifting at all, but just, you know, lighten the mood a little bit. On my way to the Alex Isley concert, I was with a bunch of people. We were on the SUV headed there, and one of the women in the car was like typing away, like, you know, when a girl is locked in writing paragraphs. And I was just like, oh, boy trouble, like, what's going on? She's like, no. I was like, you look like you have that focus. I'm sending five paragraph essay, intro, hypothesis, three body conclusion, citing sources, mm-hmm. MLA format type of shit. She was like, oh, no, I know it looks like that. That is what I'm doing it, but I'm writing it for my homegirl. To send to her boyfriend.
Yeah, and
I
was like, copy and paste it and send it to
her. I was like,
Quentin Miller.
I was like, so you're ghostwriting for your friend?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. I mean, in my group chat, like, I'm the one that will write all the responses to everyone's boyfriend. I said, wait, so that means I've been arguing with a woman before, but talking to someone else?
Talking to a girlfriend. Absolutely.
So I used to approach when I would start talking to a girl, I would always try to get in good with her best friend. Because, you know, that's always helpful whenever you get into some shit with your girl that...
It's important for you to have a relationship
with her. She's not an ally, but she likes you, so it can be...
She can be an ally.
She could be a good buffer in between things rather than if she absolutely hates you.
She's never going to have your best interest over her girl's, but...
For sure.
She'll help you out like, hey, listen, she's upset. Listen,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to do something right this weekend.
I thought that was OG shit, and I thought I was, you know, ahead of the curve on that one. I had this all wrong. You shouldn't go after the best friend. You need to find the most articulate homegirl in the group chat, because that's who you're going to be arguing with.
Yeah.
You need to start preparing. Pick her brain. She may not even realize it. You need to figure out how she argues, not the way your girl argues.
But you know, you got to do that when you're arguing with your girl and she's like really giving it to you. You got to be like, oh, Danielle again. You just got to yell. No, like, but Danielle's good.
But this is how dumb my man brain is. Because once she said that, I started thinking back to arguments where I've thought, you don't even talk like this.
Yeah.
Like, I used to think she got angry and all of a sudden became a T.I.
Yeah.
And like knew every fucking word.
It's just Danielle.
It was her friend with a master's this whole time.
Absolutely. Her lawyer friend.
Find out what she's reading.
Yeah, you know every girl that went to college has a lawyer friend.
And then like
somebody that actually went all the way and like passed the bar.
And have you ever gotten really confused? I've started rethinking my entire life at that point. Have you ever had the girl that is the freak out, like loses her mind in arguments girl? Like,
I think every guy's had that.
Okay. And have you ever been thrown off when like randomly she'll be super calm and mature in a text? Like, I understand if that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. Like, where is she playing mind games right now? What the fuck? Why is this a different person?
No,
now realized I was just talking to her calmer friend.
Exactly. You just talking. She copy and pasted her logical, level-headed thinking friend who was like, no, don't curse him out. Just tell him exactly how you feel. Use your words. And then she said, you know what? I'll send it to you.
And but what a brilliant way to argue as well. Because, you know, anytime you argue with someone you like or love, there's going to be emotions attached to it. Mm-hmm. And once you have emotions in an argument, you're going to lose.
That's it.
Someone that has no dog in this race at all that could just articulate feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We have been, because men.
Apple
this is why
to
men,
do something about that. Apple, let us know when this shit is copy and pasted. Like,
you
it
can
has
do
to
the
say,
face thing. Do the I want the thumbprint back.
Yeah, like,
to let me
like,
know who's
let
typing.
Let me know, like, okay, this is copy and pasted from somebody. Like, these are not her words.
They give you the last four of the number it came from.
Yeah, yeah. Like, these are not her words. Like, it's fine, but it's
you
her sentiment.
You know how you can save a photo and it'll tell you the date and shit? Let me copy and paste it and put it in my notes and it tells me where it came from. What's the IP address of this text right here?
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm with that.
Well, like, as that friend, let me also tell you that isn't
you're the
as that friend.
No, you're not that friend.
I swear.
You curse way too fuck. Oh, well, maybe in text you're different. Maybe in text you text a little different when you curse to somebody.
But you have to. She's not attached to it, so she doesn't have the demerits curse out.
Yeah. You don't have
even when I'm arguing with the people that I'm dating, I don't curse them out.
Oh, you just curse at us.
I curse at y'all. Okay. But when I'm typing and I'm like, when I'm in the argument, first of all, I'm an Aries. I argue a lot. And I'm also like,
what does that mean?
People who argue a lot. I said my sign to be funny, but people who argue a lot
are women
over time. No, over time, who debate a lot. I won't even say argue. People who debate a lot, you become good at it. And not even just that. I just want to let you know that homegirl is not just, it's not just when they're arguing. Also, if you've ever bagged a girl and a girl was nervous and really, really liked you and didn't know what to say, there's the slick mouth flirtatious girls who...
Oh yeah.
Tell you what should
Absolutely.
I say to him?
Oh wait, so does that mean technically I bag both then if she's the one typing to me?
Yeah.
And now I got chemistry with your friend. Maybe I should be with her.
Have you met the guy that you've been ghostwriting on your friend like for behalf of? And
like,
you see him and you're like, yo, I want, because you've been talking to him the whole time.
No.
And has he ever
made
a comment?
Guys that were like mad in love, like, yo, she mad slick with the mouth. And I'm like, it's me.
And then they go on
me.
The second date and she's not slick of the mouth at all. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then you have sex with her and the pussy is not bomb. See, I just fucked the whole room right there.
Yeah.
See, you've been talking all that shit in the text. Like, I'm gonna throw it back.
But women that even
throw it back.
Even women that write their own rhymes be lying about that shit.
Like, don't go. You can't. If you're gonna have a ghostwriter,
have a ghost pussy.
Have a ghost pussy too.
Well, that doesn't even logically make fucking sense. Like, y'all are just talking.
Nothing makes sense logically. Like, we should just, like, if you're gonna let me argue with your homegirl that's sending these words,
I'll put it this way, bro.
Let me slap. Look
at the difference between.
Let me spank too.
Yeah, like, clearly, me and your friend have a lot of good chemistry.
Me and her are communicating.
Our banter
very well.
Is amazing.
We're not arguing. We're not yelling at each other. Like, we're great. Like, so let me hit that. Like, we could still be together, but it's like she owes
The ghost pussy.
Yeah, give me some ghost pussy.
But look at the difference between men and women. Because, Maul, I know you wouldn't do this, but in some world, you were arguing with your girl and you were like, I can't do this. Rory, can you? Type, I would say, get the fuck away from. I would never type for my male friend.
Yeah, we can't have ghostwriters.
I do that.
You ghostwrite for your homeboys?
Not if they're in an argument with their girl, if they're trying to pick up a girl or get with a girl.
Maybe for like a little playbook. Someone that's younger, like I would maybe help them out. But like my adult friend.
Like, get out of here. We have a word for that friend. We can't use it anymore.
No,
like, I just said we have a word and we can't use it anymore.
What's the word?
We can't use it. Oh, man, that feels so good.
Maul introduces it the same every single time.
That feels so good. Mark, that feels so good to you.
Get it out. Sometimes you
just
gotta get it out.
Just gotta let it go. Just gotta let it go sometimes.
Oh, my God.
You
would scream that during your sound.
Absolutely.
Because I've sat next to Rory and Maul and asked you guys what I should say, like, in the middle of a text argument.
I might do that for a homegirl. For my adult male friend, no, I'm not going to be like, bro, you should say this.
Yeah,
I don't do it for arguments. I do it only if it's like, hey, these girls are out, or how should I get this girl to meet us out? Or
yeah, I've done that.
That's different.
But for a younger, friend, not like
cover me. I don't do that.
Imagine arguing with a woman that's not your girlfriend.
I've done
that before. Sick.
I would never do that.
That's horrible.
Sick, right?
You guys are all liars.
What do you mean?
You've only argued with a woman that was your actual girlfriend.
I prefer to only argue with a woman that's my girlfriend.
Men, we're not entitled to preferences.
Yeah, you don't. You don't dedicate as much energy to the argument
if
it's not your girl. Like, you find yourself, you're like, why am I arguing with you? Like, you're not my girl. Like, why am I even arguing with you? Like,
you ever be explaining yourself and you catch yourself? I be so mad.
Yo, like, I caught myself explaining myself to a girl that was not my girl one time. And I was like, why the fuck did I even just tell you all of that? Like,
yeah.
She was like, I have no idea. I didn't ask you that. And I'm like, word, like, just delete all that from your memory. But anyway, a mother gave her son eviction papers on his 18th birthday.
I like it. She must be Irish.
You know how crazy that is? Like, just imagine you turn 18 and your mom is like, yeah, so next week you're going to have to find a new place. I'm no longer taking care of you. You're not on my insurance anymore.
Can I imagine? I've lived it.
Your mom kicked you out when you was 18?
I kicked out, but it was always a thing throughout high school that you need to leave here at 18.
Wow.
Listen, if I was in the gutter, like, whatever, of course I could go back to my house. Like,
she gave you the speech, like, yo, you need to
start. No, but it wasn't, not in like a bad way. It was just more of an encouraging, like, I expect you to get out of here and you're going to want to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I needed to go home, of course I could have, but it was encouraged and, you know, put in the air that, hey, go figure it out. Even if you got to live in some really shitty places, that's life.
In New York City, though, I feel like 18 is so early for New York City. Is it just me?
Been outside since you were like 14, though.
Yeah, but I mean, being outside and being able to afford
outside and having to sleep outside are two totally different things.
But like, I could
be outside, but moms ain't changed these locks yet. My keys still work and my bedroom is still there. Like, I'm going to sleep.
But you're viewing it more as I'm going to leave at 18 and go get my first apartment. No, you have to go figure out where to live.
Yeah.
Like, I had to use my network until I was 22 on places to stay.
Yeah.
And I would find certain rooms for $175. I'd stay there for 3 months. And like, you figure shit out. No, I didn't just go get an apartment. I was couch surfing. I was, asking my godfather, can I stay in your basement for 2 months? Like, just shit like that is how you... It's the tool to figure shit out.
Are you going to
adapted to every part of my life.
You decide to have a child, are you going to do that to your child?
I feel like the answer is going to differentiate based on if it's a son or a daughter, though.
No, and at the times,
the answer differentiates based on race as well. Like, it's very dangerous for a black parent to send their black daughter or black son out into the streets at 18.
And say, figure it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what white privilege comes in. That's just what it is. It comes down to race. It comes down to
money.
Financial status. Mm-hmm.
But then again, there is a lot
access
of
to
a lot of white families like that. That just
because
of the resources just have their kids live with them till they're 30 and it's not even looked weird at all.
Italians. Some people, some white people have their kids live with them till they're 30.
Thank you, Italians.
Yeah, some white people have their kids live with them till they're 30 and have kids with their kids too.
I mean, I would never want to put like an actual the way this 18th birthday thing, but with my children, again, circumstances would be different.
Oh, y'all didn't see that documentary?
I was just
y'all didn't see the documentary with the white girl whose father, the guy that raised her entire life, like ended up having kids with her and then killed her.
Is this not Game of Thrones? That's on HBO.
No, it's the lineage of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm.
Those are their ancestors.
Down from the Caucasus Mountains.
Yes, family traditions, as we call them.
Exactly. It was handed down generationally. Yes. But yeah, it's just different. It's a difference based on race and financial status as well. That's a very dangerous
thing.
I just think
families in general view things different. Yeah, I wouldn't.
You didn't answer my question.
I was about to.
She sounds like she's about to argue with you through text.
I wouldn't put a date. 18th birthday, you have to be out. It would be circumstantial based, but yes, I will encourage my kid to figure things out.
That's only the
as
son.
Safe as possible.
You're not putting your daughter out at 18.
No, of course not.
What's the cutoff? Like, you're too old. Get out of my house. No matter.
I've seen parents that love their kids so much they would never throw them out on the street. But at some point, you're gonna have to start contributing and paying some type of rent.
Like if we have a house and like you can live in the basement. My kids can stay down there however long. I wouldn't give a fuck. But if we have like an apartment and like I got to actively see you every like time I come out of my bedroom, it's going to come a time I'll be like, yo, listen, what we doing? I'm tired of seeing you in this fucking kitchen every time I'm in here.
My thing is, no matter what, eventually a kid is not going to want to stay under their parents' roof. So if it takes them till they're 30 to figure that out, I'm not judging.
Yeah.
Everyone's path is everyone's path. Mm-hmm. Why I encourage is that because it sucks once you're 30 and don't even know how to pay Con Ed. You don't know anything. Even if you contribute to your household, you don't know how to run a household.
Yeah.
Even if your parents make you do laundry, take the trash out, clean up, you still don't know what that's like when you're by yourself. It's life skills. Mm-hmm. So many things that you can't learn unless you're on your own figuring out by yourself. If I don't do this today, I don't eat today. Mm-hmm. It's a different mentality, which I want my kids to have and instill in them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean on their 18th birthday, get the fuck out and don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be in the air at some point. You don't want to be 30 and not know how to pay a bill.
I mean, but that's something that takes 2 seconds to learn.
That's a soft life, though.
And once you have money, you figure out how to pay bills very easily.
Uh-huh.
Auto-pay.
Right. I love auto-pay.
You're super adulting if your bills are on auto-pay.
Yeah, auto-pay. Just take this shit out.
Just recently
the pain is it's still painful once you see it, but it's like, it doesn't hurt as much.
You don't even see it.
Yeah, but when you do see it, when you go and look at the statement, you're like, oh, fuck. Gotta pay that shit. Fuck.
I guess.
Sorry, whatever.
Well, what? I answered it. Are y'all kicking your kids out?
Nah. My son, maybe. My daughter, nah. My daughter can live with me as long
I'm Latino, so we kind of let our people rock for a while. You know?
Oh yeah, y'all have 3 generations in the same house.
Yeah,
I go to your house. Grandma be sleeping on the couch with the house dress on all day. We just
be
playing 2K while grandma on the couch sleep.
Couch rap.
Yeah, it's like your fan. Why y'all don't put granny in a home or something like?
Nah, definitely don't believe in that shit.
See, I think that that's very beautiful. Because Hispanic cultures and Asian cultures are like that too, where they're very family oriented, like. At the fit, like, because you want the lessons that the grandparents know, you're supposed to pass those on to generations. Those lessons.
I was jealous of
them. What do they know?
I grew up with a bunch of Spanish people. They just be using grandma to babysit.
Exactly.
She always home. She ain't got to go nowhere. She cook. Like my homeboys, we used to be outside all day playing. As soon as we get, like, I go back to the homie crib, grandma in the kitchen whipping up a whole buffet.
You ate that
shit,
right?
I'm like, oh, I see why granny's still... Y'all niggas just got granny in here cooking and fucking watching.
But granny likes to cook.
But granny likes that.
Oh, no, she loves it.
Yeah,
she loves it.
I was jealous of how my dad grew up, not the location he grew up in, but in Newark, they had like the 3-floor joints where it's 3 different apartments. Mm-hmm. They lived, him, his brother, sisters, mom, dad lived on the 1st floor. His grandparents lived on the 2nd floor and there was aunts and uncles on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And it was just one big fucking Irish feral house that... And like it was, I just thought that was dope that like a whole family could live in one house like that.
I didn't know you had a house of Pharaoh.
Yes, House of Pharaoh.
Oh, good. That's dope.
Yeah, my grandmother's house was like that, where I had aunts and stuff that lived with my grandmother. We had soul food Sunday every Sunday. And then I just moved out. The only reason why I moved out of my house, my parents' house, was because I got this job and had to come to New York. I would have still been living with my parents. Granted, I'd moved out and moved in with boyfriends and things like that. But as far as rushing to go pay rent,
you had sex in your parents' house?
Sure did.
But why you lean back and put your hand on your head like that was fly?
She was way too short.
I didn't say it was fly. It wasn't done in a disrespectful way. They didn't know that it was
quiet,
happening.
Or you was in there getting your shit blown out.
The house is big enough where they didn't hear me. Excuse me.
You put your head under the pillow?
Yo.
You was moaning in the pillow?
You put a sock in your mouth?
You put a cock in her mouth. What the fuck? It wasn't a sock headed.
I'll show you how to silence.
That wasn't cotton. That was flesh. Was not cotton. I can guarantee you that.
My point was.
What's your point? Well, my bad, baby.
What was your point?
I was trying to figure out the. Now I think about it. What was the point? Like,
you just fucking in your parents' house?
I didn't.
And more lying like he's not fucked in his. In,
did I fuck in my mom's house? I did my best fucking in my mom's house.
Thank you.
I haven't fucked like that since I moved up.
You ever had sex in your parents' bed?
No. I don't play with black mothers like that. Black mothers, they not going for that.
Damaris has.
Damaris is a hoochie mama. You know she was fucking in her mother's bed.
I was younger, though.
And you probably only fucked in your mom's bed because you washed clothes and put them on your bed and didn't want to, like, fold them.
I was going to say, was it necessity or, like, for a thrill?
I had a full-size bed, and my mother had a king-size bed.
Oh, you wanted to roll around. You wanted to get tossed around like a... You was like, oh, my God, I got to get a king-size. All right, serious question time. You ever walked in on your parents fucking? Let's make it uncomfortable.
I don't think I have.
Trauma. Traumatic.
Yes.
Talk about it.
I don't.
Speak
want
your pain. Go on your sound journey right
were
now.
They in your
it.
Bed?
Yo, your parents fucking in your bed is crazy.
By the way, for the same reason Damaris did it, for a thrill.
Leave the door open, honey.
Yeah. No, but then your dad get mad. Nah. Like, this bed is too small.
No, he wanted to challenge himself that day. He's like, I got too comfortable with the king. Let me get back to basics.
Let me get back to the full. Let me humble myself.
He's like, it reminds me of college.
We've gotten too comfortable.
Let's humble ourselves, yes. Betty.
Betty. That's not Damaris' mother's name. Betty. What position were they in?
How old were you?
Damaris, you know she screamed and dropped her juice or whatever she had in her hand and ran. You know she didn't stay there to watch.
I think I had to be around 8.
And oh, I think my they God. Had that's way too young.
Yeah, No, I might have... No,
I'm talking about as an adult.
I think it was like 10. I might have been around 10. Well, my parents broke up when I was like 13,
see, 8 is still
14.
An age where they could just start doing something to make it look like they just cuddling. I'm talking about when you like 17, 18, when you know they in there slamming.
I highly doubt my parents have fucked since I was 10 or 11. Maybe 9.
Yeah.
So, it was never something. Maybe I heard it and I blocked it out.
How vividly do you remember it?
Maybe George Lopez, Lowrider, was blocking out my parents.
That's the door.
Maybe anytime I hear that is the trauma of trying to block out my parents fucking.
Hearing George Lopez, the Lowrider, every time you think about your parents having sex is crazy.
Lowrider.
Maybe that was actually my dad singing it. It wasn't even the TV wasn't even on.
We want to say congrats to Stephen Curry on signing $1 billion.
Wait, before we do that, can we talk about that Munch chick and that thing that went around? I don't know if it's true because I don't know her real business and we can never trust Twitter, but I saw that report that all of her $4,000 bookings she was canceling because she upped her shit to 15 grand.
Yeah.
I understand knowing your worth and that this shit is out. I think that girl is going to miss and hate herself for not taking a lot of those 4K bookings. That she turned the fuck down.
Just like
go listen. You said you was gonna do it for 4K. I know the record blew up. Take that 4K.
Listen,
because I'm sure it's a couple 4Ks you canceled.
Ice Spice.
Yeah.
Listen, she's from the Bronx.
I support it. So I love the record. So I'm not saying she can't make another one.
Yeah, I'm rooting for her. I support her. But Shorty, listen, go get them small bags too. They add up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you don't want to step over them small bags to get a couple big bags. Stack them small bags. You know what I mean. Get you a nice little condo or something somewhere. But don't step over them small bags just to get a couple big bags. You only want to take them small bags too.
And on top of that, like starting out your career, and she's young, so I'm not expecting her to know this, and I don't know what her management situation is. So again, not judging, just looking at what I see. You do want to start a reputation that you do good good business.
Because mm-hmm.
that's why people will want to continue to book you, work with you, and tell their peers, because it's still a small world in that booking place. Hey, she does good business. She shows up. So if you said you was going to go there and do that show or walk through for $4,000, stick by your word. Maybe make less money, but everyone will say, hey, she does good business. She sticks to what she said she was going to do. She's reliable. That $4,000 is worth it. That $15,000 will be worth it.
Yeah, the shows you already have booked, honor those shows for the price that was
not specific
upon
to her, just artists in general, especially once like a record goes viral.
Now, any new bookings, I understand her saying, all right, it's $15,000 now. But if these are old bookings and then she's trying to raise the price on the number they agreed on, that's like,
and listen, I understand that we all love that Fat Joe quote, yesterday's price is not today's price. I get all that. But trust me, it goes further once you start having a reputation that you do good business and you stick to your word. People will book you more.
Does she have other records, or is it just
she has one? Other records? They haven't popped like this one, obviously.
But I'm just saying, if she's doing,
I mean,
15,
that much record is fire
for 15 bands. If they're just expecting her to do one song, then
they're only there to hear one song. They don't care about the other songs.
Yeah, I would.
They just need to get that one song her performing. They could record themselves on TikTok while they're there. You know how that goes. And but I mean, again, if she's
looking for,
I'm not mad at her, you know, raising her number. But if she has contracts or deals that she agreed to do for $4,000.
Yeah.
Honor those out.
I'm not getting in her pockets. Yeah. I don't even care about the amount. I'm just saying,
honor those.
I see a lot of young artists, especially when we were doing Palooza stuff, pull this type of stuff before where they've agreed to something and don't do it.
Yeah.
And that word gets around that just people do, and I'm not saying she's doing this, but people do bad business, and it's like, that's not worth that amount of money to get her there, because she's going to make your event a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Shout out to Steph Curry. He signed a $1 billion lifetime deal with Under Armour.
Speaking of good business.
Salute to Steph, man. I caught some flack on the internet for saying he's a top five player of all time. I think that this deal probably solidifies my argument. I mean, I don't know a lot of players that have a $1 billion lifetime deal.
Well, I mean, it wasn't readily available.
It's been $1 billion has been readily available in the last few years. Absolutely.
Oh, no, for the last few years, I'm just saying, like, I don't know if, like, Wilt was going to get the $1 billion Converse contract.
Magic's 10 for 10.
Wilt has, I think, one ring.
Oh, listen, I was not against you saying Steph Curry's top five. I just don't know if that amount of money was available for athletes that could be,
let me tell you something,
at the top five type of thing.
And also, top
Wilt
five,
has two rings. Excuse me, two rings. I'm sorry.
Top five, just be. Your endorsement deals don't have anything to do with how good of a player you are. Like, no, you can be an amazing player and get endorsed. Yeah, all right.
It has a lot to do. You
it
can't
does,
push product if you're not a great
everything,
player.
Everything, because you can be an extremely popular player and get endorsements.
If you're extremely popular because you're usually extremely good on what you do.
I think what Damaris is trying to say.
Thank you.
I think
no, I don't
that
think
out of
yet.
Out of all the elite out of all the elite players,
thanking him and didn't even hear what she said. She loves this white king. thank you, white king. The fuck? Thank you.
She goes,
the fuck
thank
are you thanking him for? You don't even know what he's about to say.
And I'm about to change
about
what
to
I
say,
don't think she was saying. Out of all the elite players, there's other factors that could get you more money as far as popularity. Like Iverson was an elite player, but he was a beloved player. So he was worth more money from an endorsement deal than maybe Tony Parker was.
Well, Iverson.
Shaquille O'Neal as well, who isn't even playing anymore and still gets endorsement deals.
Okay. But it's based off their performance is the number one thing.
All right,
after that, it's other factors.
I'm gonna make this very clear. I'm going to say this one more time for y'all. Steph Curry signs a $1 billion lifetime deal. None of these other fucking players y'all named have signed a $1 billion deal.
Excuse me, Bron is a rock boy, so technically four.
Shout out to Steph Curry and Under Armour.
You did not turn the fentanyl to Fenty Mall. Shut the fuck up.
I didn't. You're right. I do a podcast. I create content for a living. Steph Curry. Shout out to Steph Curry on his lifetime deal with Under Armour. Shout out to Dak Prescott.
Dez? Oh.
No, Dak.
To Dez from my nation.
Shout out to Dak Prescott. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Why would you shout him out?
Listen, man, he needs something. Because
the Cowboys are always fucked every year. That's why. Every year.
It's tough.
They're America's team.
It's the Cowboys are like the Knicks of the NFL.
No. Keep the Knicks away from that shit.
It's the same. No?
I don't like the Cowboys, and I'm a Knicks fan, and I think Knicks. That's disrespectful to the Cowboys. To say that they're like the Knicks.
Of the NFL.
And I hate the Cowboys.
It's, well, in all seriousness, you know, hopefully Dak Prescott gets better soon, but he is out right now for 6 to 8 weeks after being injured in game one.
I love the and
I feel like the backup quarterback, was he the backup quarterback they had when Dak went out last year or the year before? I feel like their backup quarterback played really well at one point. I could be wrong. I know nothing about football. I haven't been keeping up with the shit in the last.
Are you talking about Tony Romo when Bledsoe went down?
No, no. Come on, man. No.
Does Bledsoe have, if we're going to get into football, Drew Bledsoe has the greatest
sons. One of the best quarterbacks ever.
No, he's one of the best injured quarterbacks of all time.
He birthed
Tom Brady and Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
His injuries have changed lives.
No, but when he was healthy in New England, I'm a New England fan because of Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe and Ben Coates, that's
mm-hmm.
in 90 fucking 8 was like my shit.
Yeah.
No, Bledsoe was great. I'm just saying he is birthed through his pelvis breaking.
He's had some of the best understudies in the game for sure.
His Super Bowl ring is because of when he went out and Brady won.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and let's not forget, Brady went down in the playoffs and Bledsoe beat that Steelers team by himself to get them to the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So shout out to Drew Bledsoe. He would be a great commentator too. Why isn't Bledsoe not like?
I mean, he does things here and there. He's not like a every week guy, but he makes appearances here and there in certain games.
Mm-hmm.
Shout
out to Terry Glenn.
The Redeem Team documentary is on the way on Netflix, I believe.
Wait, can we still stay on Dak Prescott and that fake Jerry Jones tweet that went viral?
I forgot about that.
Jerry Jones tweeted, well, he didn't really tweet it, but Jerry Jones tweeted, if you have a Cowboys jersey and live in the greater Dallas area, show up to practice today.
I thought that was amazing. Whoever came up with that fake tweet, that was dope. I loved it. It's, you know, you gotta poke fun at the Cowboys because it's just they suffer so much heartbreak every single year.
Do you think Mark Wahlberg will show up?
I don't know who will show up, but it'll be fun to have. I think that's great PR to just have an open tryout and just, you know, film it. Let's see who shows up.
How do you think the Eagles feel in their legacy that just some guy from the bar just showed up and made an impact on their team?
Help the team? That's a great story.
The impact award.
Because, yeah. you know, a lot of guys at the bar, you know, they see a guy drop a pass. They're like, how the fuck I can catch that?
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, can you? Here's your chance.
Mark Wahlberg can.
Go out there and do it. Was that Invincible with Mark Wahlberg? Good movie.
Hilarious movie.
Invincible or Rudy?
As far as a better movie or a shittier movie?
Rudy wasn't a shitty movie.
No, it wasn't. It's just a.
He got in. You wasn't happy that he got in the game. How was it a shitty end?
It's a story of celebrating mediocrity.
Oh, it's giving the little guys a chance, Rory. That's what it's about. Rory, you cried during Rudy.
No,
Rory definitely cried during Rudy.
You cried during The Departed.
I definitely cried during The Departed. Definitely cried during The Departed.
I cried during The Departed, too.
Why? To this day, you could throw on The Departed, and I might cry.
What are you crying for? The Departed?
I mean, listen, man. All he was trying to do was make a difference.
That's what Rudy was trying to do. Right. For the little guys in the community.
Okay, but
you could play for Notre Dame, too.
Nah, you can kind of charm your way. You can guilt trip a new coach into letting you put the uniform on because your dumbass wanted to run into people. No one told you to do that. Him getting into Notre Dame, I thought was ill. Now go get your degree because we didn't get Rudy too. Did he do anything with his degree?
Yo, you can't.
Rory, he wasn't going to go to the league because he couldn't even.
Don't front like you didn't cry when he got the sack though, when he sacked the quarterback.
That was not true.
In the movie, you didn't cry? He definitely cried. He's like, so little. He cried.
Okay, Mo, you played sports, right?
Yes, I did.
You know, like, especially when you're not going to make playoffs or, like, the next shit and it's a blowout, mm-hmm. everyone starts to relax a bit.
Yeah.
That sack has an asterisk.
Yeah, it does.
That gap was open.
But the game was over.
Rudy went through the A gap untouched. Like, I'm not about to celebrate
You hating on Rudy. I'm not going to let you do that.
Rudy is a classic.
The Redeem Team documentary is coming on. Pause. That sounds crazy. Redeem Team documentary is coming to Netflix.
The whole Redeem Team definitely came on something.
Oh, absolutely. We know what the Redeem was about. The untold story of one of the greatest comebacks in sports history, led by Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. I believe Dwight Howard was on that team.
Carmelo
Anthony.
That was such a fun year to watch.
Yeah, that was. This is gonna be fun to watch. It's gonna be fun to watch. It's gonna be good to see Kobe in those moments with the younger yeah. guys, the younger stars that I are think still playing?
A veteran Vince Carter. Well, I mean, shit. Judging by his career, he was a veteran, but still had 20 years left.
Vince Carter is one of the most underrated players, I believe.
One of my favorite players ever.
Because everybody just, when they think of Vince, they just think of Duncan and, you know, he was a high jumper.
Doesn't he still, well, no, I'm sure Steph Curry broke it, but he had the 3-point playoff record. Like he was lights out shooting.
No, Vince Carter is one of the most underrated, most underappreciated players. I think ever. And so because, you know, people just think of him being a high jumper. He had a complete game when he was in Toronto, even a lot of the years with the Nets, like he had a complete game. Could shoot it, could handle the ball, pass, defend it pretty well. So yeah, man, shout out to this Redeem team. I'm looking forward to seeing this documentary.
Vince is why the And-One brand took off again. Because after Marbury fucked his
Vince wore him in the dunk contest.
He wore him in the iconic contest.
He wore him in the dunk contest. Crazy. And he wasn't even signed to And-One. He just wore him.
Yeah, I was kind of upset, speaking of that And-One documentary, that they didn't come back to what Steph did for all the public schools in New York City and gave them the And-One Steph sneaker to all the high school basketball players. Like, I thought that
Steph was signed to And-One at one point?
Stephon Marbury?
Oh, Steph. I thought you meant Steph Curry.
Stephon Marbury. Oh,
okay, yeah, I'm thinking about Steph Curry.
That's the first Steph to me. I don't think I know Steph as Steph Curry, but yeah.
Yeah, but when you Marbury. Say Steph and right now, I'm thinking Steph Curry.
Fair.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the And-One shit.
Yeah. No,
that was another thing I thought they left out of the And-One part that I think speaks highly of that brand.
Yeah, well, they did escalate dirty.
We spoke about it on the pod. I can't believe they didn't even bring Escalade into it, but you know, rest in peace to Escalade.
Yep.
I want to have AO on this podcast.
We can hit AO up. See if he'll come sit down and kick. He will. Yeah, that bum ass nigga ain't doing nothing. that's my niggas.
Can we get problematic AO though? I don't want media trained postdoc.
I don't know which AO we'll get, but I'll text him and ask him, you know, if he gonna come kick it with us and be politically correct, or if he gonna talk shit the way we be talking shit in our text messages.
You wanna be a funny sketch or like some type of thing we could do if me and AO like go, I don't know, do like a basketball signing or something, and I just pretend to be the professor. Like AO and I go out at some point and I can just dress as the professor.
Then you're going to have the professor send you a letter saying that you owe him money.
Yeah, cease and desist.
Yeah.
Or what would be even funnier, do the opposite of White Man Can't Jump. Like, AO goes to the court and like, oh shit, he brought the professor with him. And then I get the ball and it's like,
kick
not
that
the,
shit.
Not the professor.
They found out you're the substitute.
I'm not the professor.
He's the substitute.
That was actually very funny.
Roger Federer has announced his retirement from tennis. To my tennis family and beyond, of all the gifts that tennis has given me over the years, the greatest, without a doubt, has been the people I've met along the way. My friends, my competitors, and most of all, the fans who give the sport its life. Today, I want to share some news with all of you. As many of you know, the past 2 years have presented me with challenges in the form of injuries and surgeries. I've worked hard to return to full competitive form, but I also know my body's capacities and limits. And its message to me lately has been clear. I am 41 years old. I have played more than 1,500 matches over 24 years. Tennis has treated me more generously than I ever would have dreamt. And now I must recognize that my knees are fucking burning.
Yep.
My hamstrings are torn.
Yep.
And my toes are bleeding.
Yes.
The Laver Cup next week in London will be my final ATP event. I will play more tennis with my kids once they are able to play. In the future, of course, but just not in the Grand Slam or on the tour.
Listen, if Serena's retiring, I need to retire.
Shout out to Roger Federer, one of the greatest to ever play the game.
Yes.
Just not the greatest, but one of the greatest. Salute to a hell of a career.
I do like that he didn't stomp on Serena. Like, they let
it go. Yeah, he let it go. You do that.
As much as we love Federer, he could never
stop.
They could do it on the exact same time of day on the same day.
And it went the 50 versus Kanye. Yeah,
nobody would give a shit.
I wouldn't even compare it to that.
Luka Doncic is in a legal battle with his mom over the rights to his name. She gave birth to him, so she feels like she owns him forever. Luka Doncic is in a legal battle with his mom.
This feels like the Marshall Mathers
LP. Because she won't give up his trademark, Luka Doncic 7. He can't start his own trademark because she currently has one under his name. Is that Luka's mom?
She bad.
Oh, she's hot. I don't know any much about this, so I can't speak on it. It's kind of weird that your mom owns the trademark to your name. I mean, she's your mom, so obviously she, you know, she'll always be that. She gave birth to you, but I don't legally owning the trademark to my name is kind
of
weird.
Can someone find a video of Luka like walking into the arena? You know, athletes have the headphones on and shit, and just put cleaning out my closet behind it. You know, Luka goes crazy to the Marshall Mathers LP before a game.
Luka don't even, he probably don't even know who Eminem is. That's the funny shit. He's young. How old is Luka? 22?
Yeah, but you know, he's overseas, Eminem is like the biggest rapper ever.
He's 23. He's going to make a lot of money. Yeah, man. Tickets are on sale now. We're in Chicago this weekend. We'll be in DC next weekend at the Howard Theater.
Yes, sir.
Get your tickets now at newrorynmall.com. We announced that we have a podcast opening for us in Chicago.
Yes.
Do we know the name of the podcast?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Do we know the name of the... Obviously, we don't know the name of the podcast in DC, but we will be looking for a lot of podcasts in each city to come on stage, open up for us, pause, do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to, you know, hear what the with these other podcasts in these cities are doing.
Yeah,
just give some love and some light to these other platforms.
By the time you guys hear this, I think our Chicago one will be confirmed. But Washington, D.C., if you have a podcast, if you like a podcast in D.C., if your friend has a podcast, let us know. Spread the word. We are looking for an opener in D.C. and for the remainder of the tour. But for now, let's focus on D.C. If you send us a bunch of shit for Seattle, we're not going to look at it until the week of Seattle.
Spokane.
So
Spoken.
So D.C., we need an opener.
Spokane. Somebody said it was Spokane.
It is Spokane. It is Spokane.
That is amazing coming from you because you said Buju Banton, mm-hmm. but you know how to say Spokane.
And documentary.
Gotta love with Damaris just moves the bar sometimes. Gotta love it. Doing
yeah, homie.
You know what? I want to address something on this motherfucking podcast. God. I'm tired of you picking on me.
Oh, she reading the comments.
She's always sorry, a black. Mama. See, the white king, she said thank you. Didn't even know what she was thanking him for.
I never meant
when it's
to
black,
hurt
she
you.
Got a problem with me. You know what I'm saying?
I never meant to make you cry, but tonight
I love Damaris.
I'm cleaning out my closet.
Why are we.
I'm sorry, mama. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt you.
That's what you be singing in the shower. You look like when you get
singing,
to the pitch,
cleaning out my closet.
With a raw bar of soap.
You definitely just put the soap. Like, you don't even get the rag. You
and
use the soap
and
on
making
your skin.
It more melodic is even crazier. It's like the melody? Acoustic version of cleaning out my closet.
So what we got going on? Oh, we're in Chicago this weekend, so we know what the fuck we doing this weekend.
Staying in the hotel, going right to the venue, going back to the hotel, going home.
They didn't let the GDs in the door. You letting the GDs into the show?
They didn't let the GDs in the door.
It's some politics that.
Let's let the GDs into the GDs. Come on out and hang out with us Friday Chicago, man.
Wait, but hold on. Is that offensive? What about the other? We don't want all of them together, but we should.
All the gangs come out and we'll sing Cleaning Out My Closet in harmony together while we hold hands. We'll sing to a white man's rendition of The Culture as we hold hands in Chicago. But yeah, we look forward to seeing y'all in Chicago this weekend. We're going to have a lot of fun with y'all. It's good to put some faces to the supporters and the people that, you know, listen to us and watch us every week. Let's have a lot of fun. Let's be safe. Yeah, man. That's all I got this weekend.
I'm with you.
Ready to go to Chicago and kick this fucking tour off. NewRoryNMall.com. Get your tickets now. Subscribe to our Patreon. And subscribe to anything else we do. Subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe to the Instagram channel. Subscribe to Damaris's foot channel.
Mm-hmm.
She's starting her foot fans page soon.
Hey.
So if you want to see piggies in a blanket with white polish on them, subscribe to Damaris's foot fetish page at DamarisBabyD.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to y'all soon. Yep. LLC in a foot fetish page is crazy.
Expensive.
Yeah, we'll talk to y'all soon. Y'all be safe. I'm that nigga. He's just Ginger. Peace.
No Warrior Mall.
What's up, y'all? How you doing? I'm Maul.
I'm Rory.
This is the new Rory and Maul podcast. We are on tour right now.
Yes.
Chicago this weekend. We are at Thalia Hall.
Tatiana Hall?
Thalia Hall, I believe, in Chicago.
We in Chicago. Google that shit.
Yeah, Google that shit. Come out, kick it with us. We are in D.C. next weekend at the Howard Theater.
Yes.
Tickets are on sale now for the rest of the shows on the tour. We are coming to a city near you, hopefully. NewRoryNMall.com. You can get your tickets now.
I might walk over to Howard campus, be the creepy old Kappa on the plot.
Let me know how that goes. Get your tickets now. NewRoryNMall.com, and we hope to see you soon. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.